The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Biologists assigned to Edwards Plateau reported the dead bodies of strange type of feral humans.
That would take an awful lot of, I mean, you'd have to be one hell of a fiction writer to come up with half of this. This is the Cryptid Creatures Podcast. I'm Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Todd. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Brian. How's it going, man?
Great. It's going great.
Hey, I'm excited about this episode tonight.
Me too. We have no guest.
We don't.
But
we are talking about
some contraband.
Yeah, we do. If you want to call it that, brother. No guest tonight, guys. But
didn't seem to find it anywhere. So
what we're talking about tonight is a very, in my opinion, in our opinion, a special subject. Well, and the reason I think it's special is because you can't find this anywhere right now on the internet.
And I've looked the last few days. I've searched everywhere for this stuff, and it is nowhere.
No,
nowhere to be found.
No. And the name of this information we're talking about is the Miller documents. You can look it up as Bigfoot Miller doc evidence, maybe. Try it that way. But I think, Brian, you searched up and down, high and low, and could not find this
different
anywhere.
Combinations. Yep. Couldn't find it anywhere. There was a thing on Facebook that says Bigfoot Miller documents. But it's just a page, and it has nothing. It has none of these documents on it.
Right.
Just a picture and
just a Facebook go-to kind of like, here's where you used to be able to access this document, these documents. And people are like, what are they talking about? What's the Miller documents? What are these? Well, we'll get into that.
We're going to get into it.
What these things are, you know, they used to be accessible on the internet, on Facebook. And again, you can't find them anywhere, right. which is strange to me. You would think that any kind of documentation.
It was odd to me too. Yeah. And when you first said that, I was like, oh, they got to be out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. They're not.
Right.
They're not.
Right. And I'm not going to reveal how I have what I have of them or say, you know, I have this or that. We just know that we have access to them.
Right.
And, you know. Not much access, but if anyone can find these documents out there, the Miller documents.
Yeah.
Again, you guys are like, what are you guys talking about? What are the Miller documents? Well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that here.
If you do happen to accidentally run across them somewhere.
Yeah.
Print them off.
Yeah. Print them off. Let us know.
Yeah. Find them. Keep them.
But before we get into this, Brian, as always, thanks everyone for listening.
Yes. Thank you all. This has been amazing so far.
We appreciate it. Listens are growing all the time. And we want to provide you guys with great shows. So we wanted to step back a little bit, take a break from the norm of the guest-to-guest
interviewing everybody and just kind of talk to you guys one-on-one and, you know, face-to-face, kind of, just so to speak.
Put it out there and talk about these Miller documents tonight. So we'll get into this.
Why the government is covering shit up.
Right. So, Brian, I got to tell you something, man. For a long time, I battled with the fact of believing in Bigfoot. You know, should I believe? Should I not believe? My heart and soul said, people are seeing this thing. They're not making this up. But why aren't we finding bodies? Why isn't there more evidence?
Right, exactly.
Where, you know, what's going on here? And I battled with this for a long time, trying to figure out, you know, what's going on here? Until, you know, something like we're talking about tonight, the Miller documents hit me. There very well is government conspiracy and cover up involved in this thing we call Sasquatch, Bigfoot. I truly believe that 100% of my heart. Sure. The government knows these things exist and they're keeping them covered up, on top of the fact that they're not only elusive and they hide in caves and whatnot.
In trees, from what we've read in these Miller documents.
In trees, and we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But we're still having sightings upon sightings upon sightings because it's going to happen. It's going to happen, right? These things are out there.
Absolutely.
People are venturing in their world, and they're in ours. Well,
especially now. I mean, people are outside more and more now. They don't want to go stay in hotels and shit. They're out camping more. They want to get outside.
Yeah.
After being locked down for so long, you know, and it's going to happen. They're going to run into each other.
Yeah. You know, like the alien thing, you know, the whole government's going to release these documents about UFOs are real, you know, but they've kind of opened the door to admitting or not admitting that they're not, or they are real, whatever you want to say. Right. They're basically saying, look, pilots have seen things, you know, our military has seen things that wasn't us. We can't explain. We don't know if they're from another nation or not, which kind of makes me say, look, how serious are you with our spending the money on our military? If you don't know what something is you see out there, you want to question that it's a Chinese or a foreign of Earth, so to speak, made thing, then you get with it a little bit because somebody's way more advanced than us and we don't know it.
Somebody is.
And it's hopefully not of this world because, you know, like I said, if it's China or something, well,
if it is of this world, that's even more terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Opens up a lot of doors, Brian. I mean, we could talk about a lot of theories, but let's stay focused on these Miller documents, I guess, you know, because the people
are wondering, what are these here for. So
the Miller documents. I don't know. I think I saw this on a Facebook post one day a couple years ago. And you and I had met and started talking about doing this podcast together, and I had brought this up to you. And we had done a little show on this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really on a different podcast, maybe just kind of like a little stream that we posted out there somewhere. But we're going to do it again and put our hearts into it for sure. But these things are, they were on a Facebook page that I came across and I read these things. And then for a while you couldn't find them like you can't now. And somehow they popped back up and I saw them and I made a copy of them. And, so here we are. So what's interesting about the Miller documents is, well, they're about a doctor back in, what year was that, Brian? Do you know?
29.
Yeah. He had graduated from Harvard, Yale. Is that right? I think he had done that too.
Yeah.
His name was H.A. Miller. I don't know what his full name was. He was born in 1909. I see on the paperwork here, December 12th, 1909.
Right.
But in a nutshell, what we'll get into tonight is he worked for the National Forest Industry and for the government. And in these documents that were found in some old attic of his descendants, basically talk about him being sent to different areas of the United States to examine bodies of creatures unknown to man at the time that were classified as a feral human.
Oh. Yeah, it was the late 30s.
In the late 30s, that was when it happened. So let's get into it a little bit. Brian? You read the whole manuscript. What's your theory for before we get into the details? You got anything you want to talk about it before we get into it here, or you want to just jump into here, or what are you thinking there?
No, we'll just jump right in there.
So, you know, this appears as a this lady sent this this to I don't know what it is. She sent this to a editor or something like that. She says, "Dear Linda, I'm not clear as to the best way to handle a manuscript written by my grandmother's half brother.
Right.
He died in 2005. He had no children or relatives who live except for my grandmother. Apparently he sent a box and left it in the box without my knowledge to my mother. It was in the attic of my grandmother since 2005. So I don't know how old this box is, but,
well, if that's Miller's actual stuff, then that's from the 30s.
Right. Amazing age of 92. My grandmother recently passed away, and my mother and I were going through these things and found this manuscript. I do not know if it's authentic, but I wanted to share it with anyone who might know what to do with it." So, you know, people can say, well, these things were made up. They were typed. That's absolutely true. 100%. It could have happened. These could be made up. But, you know, as we read through this.
It could, but the deeper you get into this stuff, there's no way.
I mean.
No way somebody could.
H.A. Miller was a real person, and you can prove that. And it says, you know, there's a photograph attached. It says the above photograph shows H.A. Miller, first row down, third from left, spectacles, Yale Forestry Program, 1930.
Right.
So he left these documents, apparently. And this lady says, you know, English is a second language. I was told to get a hold of you, Linda, to be the person on the internet to show me how, you know, when it comes to Bigfoot, and I'll send this to you. And she's talking about different things and not really making much sense because she's not, you know.
Right. Not a real good English speaker.
Too much into English at that point. But this is back in the day as well. So it says, you know, the following was written by Dr. H.A. Miller, now deceased. He was born in England, December 12th, 1909. He was the first and only children of his parents. He finished my high school education while living with my father, stepmother, and half-sister. So he moved around a little bit. Just trying to give the audience a background on this. His studies focused on forestry and land management. While in his junior and senior year, he was employed by the federal government.
Right.
He
working for the FDA
and the
Forestry Service.
Yeah.
That's an odd combination.
I think that'd be a cool job, honestly.
I'd be a great job.
Would you not want to be a for? I mean, Jesus, what we do. I mean,
Forestry Service? Heck yeah, man. Absolutely. I love it.
So he says, "I began to find great interest in the scientific workings happening with corn and seed at the time." He was in some kind of farming thing. Completed an additional year in the forestry science and graduated in 1930 with an AB from Yale University and an MF in 1931, Master of Science in Forestry. He hoped to attend medical school and become a physician. So this guy wanted to be a doctor.
Yep.
He applied for medical school and was accepted to Harvard and began his medical training in 1938. Graduating from Harvard Medical School in the early 40s, specialized career at the time in orthopedic forensic surgery. Because of my previous work with the USDA, I was quickly employed by the federal government.
All right.
So.
To basically do examinations and stuff on forestry service workers who have died out in the field.
Right.
Accidentally or whatever.
Right.
And apparently it escalated from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said he became a forensic expert and anatomist for the USDA and caused to examine the deaths. Yeah. Assigned to specific scientific teams, which investigated the physical nature of genetics. So this is a pretty smart guy. You know, yeah. I mean, he's a scientist. Right. He, you know, a little bit of background on this guy. He's a scientist. He's a surgeon. He's in the medical field. He's trained to go out into the forestry industry and help loggers. I don't know. At the time, there's a lot of logging going on back in the day.
Right. And I think he goes in and he, you know, if somebody dies on the job, he goes in and fly him to location and he examines them and says, well, this is what happened.
Right. That's what it sounds like to me too. Like a forestry, what do you call it? Forensic, whatever, right. You know, anyway,
A corner.
Corner, yeah. Jeez. I'm not going to edit this out, you guys. You just listen. All right.
Heck yeah.
So he goes on to say,
this is us in our rawest
form. Yeah, we're not playing around anymore. So he goes on to say, it was at the same time that several of our team members were called to Bandera County, Texas, where the forestry scientist biologist assigned to Edwards Plateau reported the dead bodies of strange type of feral humans. Reports I received were speculating that they were feral humans from the local Comanche Indian tribes. The bodies were supposedly found in and around one of the massive caves within Edwards Plateau area. Let's stop and pause on that for a minute, Brian.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Yeah.
What key words in that phrase caught your attention?
Feral humans and found them around the caves.
Caves, yeah. We've talked a lot about, there's a lot of cave systems that are around that people don't know about.
Right. And why, maybe linked to why we haven't found any remains.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they could live in caves and they could die in caves. Yeah.
Yeah. They could be like elephants and have a Bigfoot burial ground that they go to. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? But now that we're reading these documents,
right,
maybe it's because the government's finding them and taking them.
I mean, if these things are masters of, hide and seek, so to speak, and they're covered up by the government, and there's cave systems that they're living in that humans don't know about or aren't explored.
Right.
Or they're digging on their own. Jeez. I mean.
Or maybe they're told don't go in those caves because they're unsafe.
Yeah.
For some reason. And they're not really unsafe. They just know that there's
private land, so to speak.
Right.
So he says, when I arrived in Texas, I was surprised to find three bodies, one adult female and two female juveniles. I examined them as I typically would any human subject, but to my dismay, one of these creatures still seemed to be alive. I became quite upset with the local scientists. Yeah,
this is another interesting part.
Yeah. The interesting thing about it is he's not describing so much what he's seeing. He's mad because they said they're all dead and they weren't. He's like, whoa. And so what happened to him saying,
it was dead. But they seem to have, they seem to have a accelerated regeneration process. Is that what the word he used?
He said,
healing. He says,
I became quite upset, the local scientists, but they reassured me that they confirmed all three were deceased.
Reparative process.
Yeah, after further investigation, I found these creatures were not human. They, in fact, had remarkable rapid reparative process, hence the reason one of these creatures seemed dead, but in fact was regenerating to a degree.
Right.
Unfortunately, the restoration abilities of this creature were not enough to keep it alive. They were massive in size and sickly new species known to science at the time.
Yeah.
I'm at a loss here.
So they have.
What did he mean by that? Why were they dead?
Rapid reparative.
Do you think? What do you think happened? Control. Do you think this was a fire?
Maybe. Smoke inhalation could have been.
We could have done our homework and found out what year this was and if there's any fires. Who knows?
How much fun would that have been?
Yeah. Right. So that's just weird. We're talking about this guy who, let's back up a minute. We're talking about this guy who graduated from Harvard and Yale and basically was a forestry coroner. And he's being called out to check on these feral humans that they thought were part Indian. But he's like, no, they were not. And then he says they were massive in size and distinctively a new primate species unknown to science at the time.
Yep. Which is.
So what's weird is when these documents, on a side note, it looks like they found some other documents attached that he had received from someone. name not given, but they lived in Sweden and were raised by some parents there. Father was Swedish and met my mother in the United States. But what this girl's talking about in a nutshell is Evelyn Wentworth. She talks about the stories of Bigfoots. I don't believe in these creatures, but I'm surprised to hear from my friend. She was basically with Dr. Miller.
Right.
Examining these creatures.
Yep.
And somehow these documents came involved with the Miller documents, or they sent him these documents looking for answers. I don't know, but she says, you know, her mom always tells her stories about her studies in the United States, biologist for the Department of Forest and Industry along that line. She would occasionally tell us stories about the three giant monkey-like creatures she found in Texas while she was a young scientist, 25 or so years old.
Well, yeah, it says right there, a fire. Fire had burned some of these giant monkeys.
Right. Yep. I recall her talking about finding these monsters in some caves in Texas. A fire had burned the giant monkeys. I always thought her stories were crazy. How strange to read, blah, blah, blah. Again, could this have been made up? Sure. Absolutely. But the way the story reads, and we're not getting into the depths of this, I don't think this was made up.
I don't think it was either. And the more I read, I'm pretty sure that this guy actually did this stuff, and this woman.
And it says, talking about flying to Texas to help her examine these dead monkeys, his name was Dr. Miller. She would tell us how angry he was at her and the others because one of the monkeys was not dead. They call these things monkeys.
Right.
So it goes on and talks about that thing, and she referred to these monkeys as something other than Bigfoot. The first ones discovered in her by Texas, she called something like Texicanus. She would tell me stories of the different species like Sampos in the swamps of the United States, Belize in South Africa studying the Amazonian type Bigfoot. She told stories about the Arctic type and the pure white furs, seemed to know as by Dr. Miller as well. And we're not done with these, but geez, man. I mean, why do you think this document, I mean, why would not be accessible online anymore, in your opinion?
Because it's factual. And they don't want people to know.
They go on to classify these things.
Yeah.
He's talking about habitats. He not only went to Texas, but he went to...
He went to California, mm-hmm. the Pacific Northwest.
So he classifies these things. And he says, for my own journaling, I will not refer to these species as what he classified them as. And the best way I can pronounce this word... Cebidatelidae.
Cebidatelidae. I don't know. That's the scientific name they gave them.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what. To insufficient data. I do, however, agree this New World ape species is remarkably divergent and maintains features from all primate suborders.
Suborders.
So, for my own purposes, I reference the species as Primus. Dr. Miller maintains his approach, of which I cannot ascribe. I don't know if my own Primus Arctos has been. I don't know who this is talking. Is this him talking or somebody else?
This is the Wentworth notes continued.
But he goes on to classify. They're talking about classifying these things as.
This is the part that confused me was this. Wentworth continued.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about the notes. She's talking about the notes with what he said. P. Arctos, the North American into Asia. P. Arctos is a very large and is in fact the largest known of primate species. It's larger than the P. Nereteros Pacificus. So they classify these things based on their location. P. Sampos, right. P. Amazonia, P. Texicanus.
Right.
So they broke these things down based on region.
P. Arctos, which is the Arctic ones.
So here we go. It says, I spent years studying these creatures. This is Dr. Miller again, which are scientifically known as Cebidelidae. That's what he calls them.
Cebidelidae.
Confirming they were most certainly not human. They were definitely of primate origin, but with traits seen in various species of primate. New World monkey.
Right.
So he says, in late 62 or 63, I was notified of a large human-like creature by the Redding Forest Service folks in California. I arranged for transport of the body to my primary location in Colorado. It was reported to me that the body was found under a large tree that had been violently struck by lightning and blown to the ground, apparently killing this large creature. So this guy is getting these things sent to him in Colorado to examine.
And that one was from the Pacific Northwest, right?
Because
it was in a tree. In trees.
It was, in a tree. Arboreal.
Yeah. Arboreal.
Arboreal, as you say.
Arboreal, yep. Which means in trees.
In trees.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So it says, I found the animal to be very similar to those I've studied in the Bandera County of Texas with some marked differences.
This is where it gets into.
Yeah, he gets into the differences in these things.
Yeah.
The scent glands. Yeah. He talks about the scent glands being armpits in some, forearms in others, in the Texarkanus ones. Yeah. So this guy breaks these things down. He not only.
There's scent glands in the forearms, there's scent glands in the armpits.
And these things go on for, due to their jaw size and bone-crushing dentum, it is clear that the subfamily of this creature are omnivorous, predaceous, and opportunistic. We did not find the female killed during the Columbus Day storm. I don't know what that means, but that where they found her. We did find that the female killed during the Columbus Day storm was pregnant with embryos. The one that they found in the tree. Yeah. I mean, there's pages of this stuff. I'm not going to read all this stuff, but an introduction to this, I mean.
We'll just touch on these points, and then, if people want us to elaborate on this some more, then we'll continue with it.
Yeah, but if you guys have heard of this, please get a hold of us, let us know. But
I think it's fascinating because, like he said, the ones in the Pacific Northwest, the C. nerteros pacificus, are more tree climbers. They live in the trees. How many times are you in the woods and are looking up?
Never.
Never.
Unless you're you and me.
And hopefully everybody who hears this now, when they're in the woods, look up.
Right.
Look up.
Right.
Because apparently these things are tree climbers.
Yeah.
And we've heard that from a couple of the people we've talked to, too.
Plenty of people. I've heard it from a lot of documentaries as well.
But nobody does that. Nobody walks through the woods in the Pacific Northwest looking up. They're always looking down.
You tend to look
mainly
down.
Mainly so you don't trip.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you're looking around the trees. You're looking down at all the underneath the foliage. Nobody looks up into the trees. And it could be one right above your head. You never know it.
Probably more people have not seen it because of that reason than have. Yeah. I mean, I try to scan when I go in a situation. I try to look up a little bit, look down. But yeah, when I'm walking,
doing that now,
I'm kind of looking at the ground. But yeah, well,
when you're walking, especially through the woods, like I said, you know, you got to look down, or you're gonna trip over something.
Right. But back to these documents, man. There's a reason why you can't find them.
Yeah. You know,
and there's a reason why that these things are covered up. And mm-hmm. was it made up? It would take a lot of work. Someone would have to go to a lot of work. If you guys get a chance to see these things, I mean, this is, it's like 18 pages long. And
yeah,
no one's going to make this stuff up.
You would have to go, because even on these documents, there's even the, what are they called?
There's references, right?
Yeah, there's references to everything they talk about.
Right.
So you can look it up.
You can look the references up, but maybe we should check that out and see what happens.
So that would take an awful lot of, I mean, you'd have to be one hell of a fiction writer to come up with half of this.
Yeah, for sure. It's not something you're going to do in a couple weeks.
No.
But, no. You know, I mean, I've always believed that there's cover up, you know, after I realized, hey, you know, why aren't people seeing these things? Why aren't we finding bodies? Why isn't there proof? I think there has been proof. There obviously is proof, according to these documents, in my opinion.
Right.
And, yes. You know, Brian, I'm going to ask you a question. Why would you think the government would cover up the existence of a being that is known as Bigfoot or Sasquatch?
Forestry, the logging industry.
You think it's that?
I think they have a very powerful lobby.
What about the whole?
At least in the Pacific Northwest, anyway.
What about, you know, tourism and whatnot? You think that much people are spending that money on the forest to go out there just to see them anyway?
Yeah, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe in the national parks, maybe that's their thinking. You know, you got to have money. I mean, they got to make money off those parks or it's worthless to have them.
Or maybe just, you know, maybe just not enough people have seen them yet to believe it's real.
Maybe a lot more people have seen them. They're just not coming forward because they're afraid to be ridiculed, made fun of, or threatened.
That too.
You know?
That too. So,
like, we're talking about these Miller documents that nobody can seem to find. Who's going to hear this and pay us a visit? You know, you never know. Maybe nobody.
Hope not.
Maybe somebody. Who knows? Maybe it'll be the Men in Black.
Let's hope not. But if so, we'll let you guys know for sure. We'll do an episode on that. I promise you.
Damn right we will. We're not stopping until they come clean.
Right. Absolutely. I'm not. But yeah, these things are crazy to read these things. Just the way, you know, it's just, you know, and you can tell when you're reading these that they were written back in those times. They don't read like they do today. So that also authenticates it for me. Another reason. Yep. So, you know, but you know, you can,
which is another thing. You know how much research you have to do to know how they talked back then?
Right.
How they wrote, how they, you know, that would be. I can't see anybody doing this for a hoax.
Right. I mean, the fact that, if Facebook took it down because they wanted to say it was their normal, whatever they call stuff nowadays.
Community standards. They violated our community
standards. Take it down. Then why couldn't you just search it anywhere else?
Fucking Facebook.
Because I could find it. I mean, at one point, you could find it on the internet, and you can't.
Yeah, I'm sure it was all over the place.
So, and maybe it'll be put back out there. We don't know. If you guys go to search this and you find it, good for you.
Maybe if we put it back out there.
Easy, Brian. Easy. We're trying to keep this podcast going here, bro.
All right. Just kidding, Mr. Government Man, if you're listening.
So, yeah. It's just crazy stuff. You know, you talk about so many things, Mount St. Helens and that story with the forestry industry and all the bodies.
Yeah.
That
finding the dead Sasquatch there after the eruption. Yeah.
You know, you and I have talked to people who've told us stories that we can't repeat.
I'm sure that if we found the right person who was a firefighter in last year's forest fires up there. I'm sure they could tell us some stuff too.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So we just need to find a firefighter that's willing to anonymously, obviously, that's willing to come forward and tell us what you find up there in them fires, you know?
So if anyone out there knows anyone who is a forest fire in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm in the Pacific Northwest.
Was that what they call them, smoke jumpers?
Yep.
Did you read through the whole manuscript of the 18 pages? I did not. I don't know if
I didn't make it through the end. No, I was going to do it again, but you wanted to jump on here, so.
I know. I'm impatient.
I'm going to finish reading them, though.
I'm impatient. I was looking for any more highlights to hear and if we do talk about, but.
And if we do part two, we can. That's my biggest thing is I'm hung up on these. The Pacific Northwest ones are more arboreal, and the ones they found down around Texas and around that area are more apt to live in the caves. A troglazine lifestyle, which is like a troglodyte, which lives in the caves, not full time.
Well,
but that's where they take cover.
There's look at the cave systems of the United States, and you know that post that was put out there on Facebook and our group page, if you guys are on our group page, it lined up sightings with cave systems. And it seems more cave systems seem to be, you know, more Midwest.
West Virginia, east. Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina.
Now, there are cave systems in the Pacific Northwest and California.
There are.
Mm-hmm. But you've also got
the biggest ones are out here, out east.
Yeah. But you've got so much rich, deep, dense forestry in the Pacific Northwest, virgin forestry.
Those woods out there are amazing.
So these things don't need to live.
They're not even woods. Those are forests. Those are real forests.
Those
are forests. Right.
Those things don't need to live in caves. And I think it's inconvenience for them to live in a cave. Would it not be for you? I mean, okay, it's nighttime. I'm going to go down in the cave.
And I think out there it would be. But down south, out east...
That'd be cooler.
You know, where there's not as dense a forest.
Or you get out of the rain, for sure. So It's just crazy how it lines up with, you know, like you said. And they talk about, too, the more aggressive, we've talked about this before in the show, the more aggressive encounters seem to happen in the south, in the hotter, you know, not so dense forest kind of things, where they're more chill. Up in the Pacific Northwest. Right.
Well, can be.
Maybe they're getting in some crops.
Maybe. Maybe they're like the hippies out there on the West Coast. They're just like, hey, peace and love, dude.
Chill. It must be the atmosphere. It's all I can
just
say.
Lob a rock over there and tell you to get out.
Yeah. Just leave. Go ahead. I'll throw a rock like 30 yards in front of you.
Like the ones down south that want to rip your head off.
I'll do a little soft tree snap for you. There
right.
you go.
Right. You should leave. Are you not gonna leave? All right, we'll leave then.
Right. So yeah, man. I mean, these things are crazy. But I believe them. I do.
I do too.
The way they're written,
absolutely,
and how they're pronounced. It's just really interesting. And above
there's
the
just too much. Yeah, there's too much detail. There's too much. There's just too much to fake.
Too many specifics.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
But. If you guys guys got any comments on this stuff, or if you guys have heard of this or come across this, please let us know.
Yeah.
Get a hold of us. Email us.
Even, come info. On and talk about it with us if
right.
you want to.
Yeah. Get on the show. info@cryptidcreatures.co. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter.
Yep. We're on everything.
So get in touch.
If it's social media, we're on it.
Right. And again, we want to get into more stuff like we talked about. We'll talk about UFOs. We'll talk about aliens. We'll talk about UFOs. Skinwalker we'll talk about Ranch. Hauntings. So if you guys got more of that stuff.
Speaking of that, there's a new episode of Skinwalker Ranch on tonight.
Oh, really?
Of course, by the time this airs, it'll be like, what?
No, I'm going to check it out. What's it on, Brian? Do you know? What program?
History Channel, I think. Awesome. History or Discovery? No, Discovery, I think.
Awesome. Yep. So, well, we'll wrap this up, man.
Yes, man, I'm excited about these Miller documents. I'm glad you found them.
We'll keep reading through these things.
And I'm glad we're reading them. And we will revisit because, like I said, I got about halfway through. I don't know how far you got.
Right.
But we're going to finish this up. So stay tuned for part two of the Miller documents.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we wanted to let you guys know what was out there and that these things exist. So, you know,
yes, just help, absolutely
help push us and along.
And if anybody else has found them and have read them,
as we said, let us know.
Let us know.
Yep.
And let us know your take on them.
All right, man. We'll wrap it up at that point. You have a good one. Thanks for being here with me again tonight.
Fun. It's always fun doing these with no guests. I mean, I love our guests. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes this has to take some time and sit back and just
do our roots.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. It is for sure. I like doing that. Just you and me behind the mic and just talking it out. That's what it's about. Right. Too. So
absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks again, guys. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it,
man. It's always fun.
Take care. Until next time. We'll see you guys later.
See ya.